观众朋友们，大家好，今天是8月7号，星期五，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国国务卿蓬佩奥表示，美国政府将从5个层面防止中国的电信还有科技公司进入美国的网络，侵犯美国公民的隐私，并且窃取美国企业的知识产权。美国正在锁定打击中国的商业间谍活动。下面我们来看美国之音常驻国务院记者张龙香的报道。
美国国务卿蓬佩奥这个星期表示，要限制包括阿里巴巴、百度、腾讯等中国的云服务提供商在美国收集以及处理大量数据和敏感信息。这位美国首席外交官宣布将扩大美国的干净网络倡议，以确保美国的网络不受到中国共产党政府的影响。这些新的努力集中在5个领域。
First, clean carrier. We're working to ensure that untrusted Chinese telecom companies don't provide international telecommunication services between the United States and foreign destinations. Second, we call clean store. We want to see untrusted Chinese apps removed from U.S. app stores. Third,Clean apps. We're working to prevent Huawei and other untrusted vendors from pre-installing or making available for download the most popular U.S. apps. Fourth, clean cloud. We're protecting Americans' most sensitive personal information and our businesses' most valuable intellectual property, including COVID vaccine research, from being accessed on cloud-based systems run by companies such as Alibaba, Baidu, China Mobile, China Telecom, and Tencent. Fifth and finally, clean cable.We're working to ensure that the CCP can't compromise information carried by the undersea cables that connect our country and others to the global internet.
在美国针对抖音海外版采取行动之后，另一个中国应用程序微信可能是下一个被调查的目标。美国官员说，这些来自中国的应用程序把用户的信息交给中国共产党，对美国国家安全构成威胁。联邦调查局曾经表示，他们每10个小时就要新开一个和中国有关的反情报案件，而在全美各地正在进行的将近5000件反间谍案件当中，几乎一半与中国有关。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
美国总统特朗普星期四签署行政命令，要求美国的医药公司购买美国制造的药品，一方面是为了减少对于中国供应链的依赖，另一方面也会避免美国的消费者买到中国的假药。下面我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
白宫的贸易与制造业顾问纳瓦罗8月6号星期四的上午在白宫进行简报会的时候表示说呢，特朗普总统将会签署一项针对药品的行政命令，购买美国货。那么在当中呢，一方面要来减少对于像中国这样外国的药品的供应链的依赖，一方面呢也要来减少中国的假药进入美国的市场。那么在白宫的简报会上呢，纳瓦罗表示说，如果我们从这个中国病毒疾病上得到任何教训，就是我们在关键药品还有医疗物资，像口罩、手套、护眼罩以及如呼吸器等医疗设备太过于依赖外国。如果你看看中国、印度等国，他们有不公平的竞争优势，因为他们的环保规定比较宽松，避税天堂的问题也很显著。爱尔兰、新加坡、瑞士、印度、中国这些国家都设定政策吸引制药公司前去设厂。你看，中国、印度、俄罗斯、巴西、土耳其其他国家主宰了部分的供应链。同时，行政命令当中有一项是要对抗假药进入美国。特朗普总统的优先考量当中有一项就是要阻止那些网络平台上销售的假药。虽然不是唯一的，但是共产中国是假药主要的推动者。那根据纳瓦罗说呢，这项特朗普总统将签署的购买美国货行政命令当中，将会要求美国政府列出关键药品以及医疗物资的清单，向美国公司购买，而不是向中国等外国购买。此外呢，也将免除对美国制药公司的某些限制，让某些药品的原料审查快速通过。而特朗普总统他也表示说，他在俄亥俄州的克利夫兰市的机场在会见支持者的时候，他也特别再度提到了这个新冠病毒。我们看一下特朗普总统是怎么说的。
We built the greatest economy in the history of the world, better than any other nation by far, and then the plague was released by China. Whether it was incompetent or other reasons, it got out. It didn't get out to China.But it got out to the US and to Europe
and to a lot of other countries, 188 countries, and we will not forget that. We will not be forgetting that.
特朗普总统在七月的时候呢，才答应联邦政府将会提供 7.65 亿美元给柯达公司，请他们的生产来对抗新冠病毒的药品的原料。目前呢，全世界大部分的药品都是由印度来制造的，但是印度也必须要依靠从中国进口这个原物料才能够来生产成药。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
谷歌表示已经删除了与中国相关的2500多个 YouTube 频道，这是谷歌最近消除虚假信息的部分行动。
谷歌公司表示已经撤下2500多个与中国相关的 YouTube 频道，这是该公司为在视频分享平台清理虚假不实信息做出的努力。谷歌表示这些频道在今年的4月到6月间被移除，并称其持续调查与中国相关的协同影响力行动。这是谷歌在有关虚假信息操作的季度公告中披露的。这些频道通常发布非政治的垃圾内容，但是一个小的分类涉及的政治。不过谷歌并没有具体说明频道名称，也没有提供其他的细节，但把这些视频与推特发现的类似行为以及社交媒体分析公司在四月观察到的虚假信息活动联系起来。北京方面过去曾否认传播虚假信息的指控。来自外国的虚假信息正在变成美国政界和科技界的一大担忧。2016年美国总统大选期间，与俄罗斯政府相关的人员向社交媒体注入大量虚假信息，很多人正在为避免今年的大选出现类似情况做出努力，包括谷歌和脸书等。与此同时，美中双方就科技和社交媒体的紧张较量还在升级。8月5日，美国国务卿蓬佩奥宣布扩大美国干净网络倡议，以确保美国的网络不受到中国共产党政府的影响。谷歌公司的这则公告还提到了与伊朗和俄罗斯等国相关的活动。
就在美中两国关系紧张之际，一名美国的共和党议员敦促特朗普政府审查与中国的航空还有国防有关联的美国企业获得的数百万笔新冠刺激贷款。
美国共和党籍众议员班克斯星期三呼吁展开调查，称一些贷款发放给了母公司为中国飞机制造商中国航空工业集团有限公司以及武器生产商中国航天科工集团公司的企业。班克斯还引用一个报告称，超过125家中国企业通过这个贷款计划获得至多4.19亿美元的贷款。他说，让中国共产党获得纳税人为了缓解他们而加剧的危机给美国企业造成的困扰所提供的资金，这是无法接受的。这个救济计划向企业发放贷款，鼓励他们在防疫封锁期间留住员工。不过由于出现技术差错、缺乏透明度，以及贷款给并不缺乏融资渠道的大公司而招致了批评。
在其他的重要消息方面，
根据美国媒体报道，微软公司计划将在未来3个星期的时间之内完成收购 TikTok 的谈判，而收购的交易金额很有可能落在100亿至300亿美元之间。不过现在国会有共和党议员对于这项备受瞩目的收购交易提出质疑，担心即使收购之后也无法完全解决 TikTok 数据安全的问题。我们来听听共和党参议员霍利和卢比奥在接受美国之音采访时怎么说。
So it's unclear to me, and I sent a letter to Microsoft today about this, but based on the news reports, it's unclear to me what exactly they're buying. I mean, it appears to be that they're buying a piece of the TikTok platform, but my question is it going to continue to be integrated with the rest of the TikTok platforms in other countries? I noticed that the ByteDance CEO says that they're going to continue to own and operate TikTok everywhere else around the world. I mean, ByteDance...built the code, they know how this program works. I mean, that sounds like all of the security risks remain. Is there going to be information sharing? Is there going to be data sharing? So if this were about Microsoft buying and completely breaking the company off, rebuilding it from the bottom up, rewriting the code, that'd be one thing. But that doesn't appear to be what they're doing. So I've asked them those questions today, but I've got major concerns if this is basically just changing an ownership label But otherwise, the app continues to run as it has on the same code, with the same data problems, the same collection, the same sharing. I mean, that's a big problem.
Commercial transaction that we shouldn't, I don't know who's going to buy it. Ultimately, our interest is to ensure that if TikTok continues to operate, it's owned and operated by a company that is not going to be compelled to share all data with the Chinese Communist Party upon demand. And so whether that's Microsoft or somebody else, I mean, that's whatever comes out of the transaction.
议员表示 ，TikTok 最重要的问题不是在它的内容和使用，而是它所凸显出来的数据安全风险。议员同时还强调，现在美国已经觉醒过来，正以一个全新的态度来处理一切和中国相关的事物。我们继续来听听两位议员怎么说。
The problem with these Chinese technology companies in particular is that when they're not outright owned by the Beijing government, they are under the thumb of the Beijing government. ByteDance, we know for a fact, I mean, ByteDance has pledged that they will have party members in their leadership. We have pictures and video of ByteDance employees and senior leadership attending Communist Chinese Party education seminars, and they're also subject to Chinese national laws that require data transfer to the Beijing government upon the government's request. So for all of those reasons, it's a huge security problem. And this problem of these sort of companies trying to buy into the American technology space and getting access to American consumers, I think it's going to get worse. So we've got to put guardrails in place now.
I think it's just the latest example of us uncovering things that should have been dealt with a while back. It's just a new dynamic. And for the most part, we haven't been concerned about these sorts of things in the past. These are many things are new problems. The capability to collect the massive amounts of data is concerning. It's in the case of TikTok, a national security threat to the United States.
霍利参议员还强调，在收购之后 ，TikTok 必须完全切断与中国母公司和中国政府之间的所有联系，才能够消除各界的疑虑。美国之音记者李一华，华盛顿报道。
美国国防部长埃斯珀本周表示，美国必须在包括军事在内的多个领域与中国展开更为激烈的竞争。他还重申了特朗普政府对华强硬立场中的军事规划。
埃斯珀通过视讯会议在阿斯彭安全论坛上表示，中国在政治、经济和军事上全面挑战美国，华盛顿将更积极地予以抗衡。
And so I think the NDS rightly recognized that we are now in this era of great power competition, and it's time that we woke up and addressed it, and that we competed much more vigorously with China than what we have been. And so we have taken this whole of government approach.We've undertaken a number of actions. So again, I said I focused the Department of China. We had to update our plans to be consistent with that. What I've done is turned the National Defense University. I've asked them to focus 50% of their curriculum on China so that our most senior officers have a good understanding for how China operates politically, economically, militarily, what their decision-making processes are, what their values, how the party's organized and whatnot. I've made China the pacing threat for our armed services, much like David, you and I would recall from our days during the Cold War. So we're now understanding better Chinese order of battle and things like that. I want to make sure it's taught in our schools. We're trying to expand our language programs, but clearly it's going to be the challenge of our time. I don't see China right now as an inevitable threat that we're going to have a fight with them, whatever the case may be. But we do have to compete. Look, it's a big challenge and we need to face up with it. And I think our hope is that we can get China on the right trajectory where they share our same values, where they at least respect international rules and norms and don't try and alter them. We need to continue to outreach to them, but we also need to recognize that we're in a new era.
埃斯珀指出，中国不仅利用新冠病毒推进政治宣传，还在各国集中抗议之际，借机提高地区影响力，包括在南中国海军演、撞沉越南渔船，以及在边境争议地区与印度发生流血冲突。此外，昨天接受斯坦福大学胡佛研究所学者欧斯林访谈时，美国共和党籍参议员布莱克本也谈到美国要阻止中国继续扩张，多次强调反击的时候已经到来。
China will continue to push outward until we push back on them. So we have to start from that as a premise. You can look at what they've done to the Hong Kong freedom fighters. You can look at what has happened around the South China Sea, the islands. You can look at what they're doing with Taiwan and realize that Now, what we did in the NDAA, which we have just recently passed, our chairman's mark authorizes for the Pacific Deterrence Initiative, aligning the programs, the weapons, and the technologies. And we put more money, and with these funds, we are looking at the Homeland Defense System, the missile defense that would be housed there in Guam, beefing that up. We have the Maritime Security Initiative, putting more attention into that. Our mission partner environment, so that we are competing across all domains, beefing that up. Information operations, and making certain that when we look at how we gather information, that we are aligned so that we are countering propaganda and that we are countering China's malign influence.
布莱克本还说，美国应强化与亚太盟友的合作，阻止中国侵略。他举例说，日本在疫情后协助企业撤出中国，这反映了日本对华策略的改变。而澳大利亚也在重新审视与中国的关系，美国应加强与这些盟友的关系。美国之音电视报道。
美国卫生与公共服务部部长阿扎尔即将率团访问台湾，多位美国国会议员对此表示肯定。
美国卫生及公共服务部长阿扎尔预计8月9日率团访问台湾，这是自1979年美台断交以来美国最高级别内阁官员对台湾的访问。阿扎尔在新闻稿中指出，台湾一直是新冠疫情及更早之前全球公共卫生的透明化及合作的典范。我期盼传达特朗普总统对台湾在全球卫生方面领导力的支持，并强调我们共同的信念。那就是自由民主社会是保障及促进健康的最佳模式。新闻稿说，阿扎尔的历史性访问将加强美台伙伴关系，并强化美台在抗击全球新冠疫情方面的合作。对于阿扎尔将访台一事，美国共和党联邦参议员卢比奥星期三在国会山接受美国之音采访时说
：“It's very good. It's right along the lines of the bill we passed last year, calling for high level engagement. So I believe he'll be the highest ranking.” U.S. official to travel Taiwan in quite some time. It's a very hopeful sign.
参议院军事委员会主席英霍夫也在国会山告诉美国之音
Well, that's the cabinet level delegation going there. To me, that's a message there that we are in strong support of Taiwan and it might be one step closer to the World Health Organization.
参议院外委会民主党资深议员梅嫩德斯也对美国之音表示
To learn from Taiwan.And how they handled COVID-19. I think they, from my perspective, were far more successful in containing the virus and dealing with it than we have been in the United States. So I hope the Secretary learned something from it.
长期推动美台高级别官员互访，也是台湾旅行法主要提案人的众议员夏伯特在声明中对此表示欣慰。他说。高级别访问对任何双边关系及面对全球疫情的时候都是至为必要。没有比现在更好的时候，我们的高级卫生官员能与一个公认的公共卫生领先者加强关系。共和党联邦参议员柯顿在推文中说，阿扎尔的访问显示美国对台湾在新冠病毒疫情中有力领导的赞赏。这种领导力与中国的压迫和欺骗形成强烈对比。美国对台湾的支持现在要比以往任何时候都更为重要。另一方面，台湾总统蔡英文8月12号将参加哈德逊研究所的线上研讨会，谈论台湾面临的安全、外交和经济挑战。他将就新冠病毒大流行后第二任期的期望，以及中共在亚太地区日益增强的野心，发表15分钟的讲话。台湾新任驻美代表萧美琴也将参加这场研讨会。美国之音新闻报道。
民主党预定的总统候选人乔拜登推迟宣布副总统竞选伙伴的人选，据称是因为内部有人反对领先的候选人。
有报道说，民主党内对领先的竞争者加州参议员卡马拉·哈里斯的反对日益强烈，乔·拜登因此延长了挑选副总统人选的时间。拜登在今年早些时候的竞选期间曾经承诺要任命一位素质高的女性担任他的竞选伙伴。此后，随着全国各地要求种族平等的抗议活动加剧，越来越多的人呼吁他挑选一位非洲裔美国人。
It will go a long wayTo motivating black voters and perhaps those young people that are not so keen on him to come to the polls in November.
哈里斯是一位著名的参议员，她是印度和牙买加移民的女儿，也是前总统参选人，看来是可能的人选。但据报道，拜登的一些主要顾问质疑哈里斯的忠诚度和野心。据说，哈里斯到目前为止还没有就他和拜登在过去辩论时发生的冲突做出和解的举动，而一些亲近拜登的人则担心，哈里斯可能会把未来参选总统的抱负看得比支持拜登的政绩更加重要。据报道，哈里斯这个星期和拜登的竞选班子会面，讨论这些问题。由于拜登在总统选举的民意调查中领先特朗普，民主党的策略师贾里德·利奥波德认为，拜登在选择他的竞选伙伴时会避免任何争议。
So I think that's what he's likely going to go for, someone who is going to be a solid pick, someone who's trustworthy, someone who can step in on day one, but also someone who's not going to be a lightning rod for criticism.
与此同时，其他可能的副总统候选人也在接受检视。最近在副总统人选名列前茅的卡伦·贝斯是加利福尼亚州的非洲裔联邦众议员。反对他的人说，他赞扬过古巴领导人菲尔德·卡斯特罗和备受争议的山达基教会，贝斯因而遭到批评。其他的非洲裔竞争者包括前国家安全顾问苏珊·赖斯，他过去从来没有竞选过政治职务，还有前乔治亚州州议员史黛西·艾布拉姆斯以及佛罗里达州联邦众议员瓦尔·戴明斯，这两人都因为缺乏经验而面临质疑。
So then you have the problem or the dilemma of, do you choose someone who has less baggage, who isn't obviously unattractive in some way, but is not known and is not tested and can't prove?That they could occupy the Oval Office successfully.
其他被考虑的女性政坛人物，据报道，包括伊利诺伊州亚裔美国人参议员塔米·达克沃斯，他也是一个伊拉克战争的残疾退伍军人，还有新墨西哥州的拉美裔州长米歇尔·卢扬·格里沙姆，马萨诸塞州联邦参议员伊丽莎白·沃伦，以及密歇根州长格雷琴·惠特莫。现在有消息说，拜登可能在未来两星期宣布副总统人选。就在民主党代表大会开始之前，他将在那里被正式提名为该党的总统候选人。美国之音记者帕登，华盛顿报道。
联邦部队撤离俄勒冈州的波特兰市，缓解了紧张局势，也使得抗议者们能够重新把目光聚集到种族正义的诉求上。
随着联邦人员不再出现，波特兰市街头的示威者说，他们要把话题转回到美国各地传出的集会口号，黑人的命也是命。
I love that I can see and look at all the faces fighting for my life, fighting for black lives.
一个自称为陪带的活动人士从华盛顿州的西雅图来到波特兰和示威者一起游行，要他们全神贯注种族主义的核心信息。
Let's let our numbers and our heartand our passion and our love that we have for one another to walk up and down these streets every single day. Let's let that suppress and oppress those who have oppressed us.
他是几个在这里的黑人活动人士之一。这个城市大约四分之三人口是白人，却出现了一些时间最长和持续不断的抗议活动，谴责种族主义和警察对有色人种施加暴力。最近几天，一群自称为波特兰黑人青年运动的青少年引起了人们的注意。 波特兰的示威活动从非洲裔美国人乔治·弗洛伊德在明尼苏达州明尼阿波利斯市的警察控制下死亡以来，持续了两个多月。有些人认为抗议行动已经偏离了正轨。
It started out as a George Floyd vigil, then it became a bunch of white people breaking and entering into buildings.
联邦警员七月初被部署到这个城市，民权团体谴责这一行动，认为是联邦权力的过度扩张。特朗普政府表示，必须保护政府财产不受暴动者的破坏。特朗普总统保证要让法律和秩序回归到美国的城市。然而，联邦部队的出现激化了情绪，加剧了动乱，最终导致抗议者和警察之间每晚都爆发冲突。七月下旬，俄勒冈州州长宣布和特朗普政府达成了一项撤出联邦部队的协议。摩特诺玛县的警长说，他对示威行动降温表示感谢。
We very much appreciate that from the protesters. We're looking forward to another night of peaceful protesting.
现在社区活动家希望转移话题，从联邦行动回归到乔治·弗洛伊德。
The U.S. has dropped this subject. This subject isn't it anymore.
It's not trending anymore.
Black lives isn't trending anymore. But Portland, we didn't give up. We're still here.
这些青少年说，只要有示威游行，他们就会上街，用麦克风大声疾呼，要求变革。美国之音记者布鲁姆，俄勒冈州波特兰市报道。
在加利福尼亚州的圣昆汀监狱，3500多名囚犯中，过半数新冠检测呈阳性。监狱正在考虑提前释放一部分囚犯，并且采取一些其他的措施。
示威者在加利福尼亚州州长纽瑟姆位于萨克拉门托的家门前，将自己用链条拴在一起。由于加州监狱爆发新冠病毒，他们呼吁大批释放加州各地监狱的囚犯。对于钱达·威廉姆斯来说，这场抗争事关个人。过去六年，他一直在圣昆汀州立监狱教犯人瑜伽。这所监狱在总数10万人以上的加州监狱系统中，新冠病毒的爆发最严重。威廉姆斯曾写信敦促当局释放囚犯。
These people were sentenced for crimes. They were not sentenced to die, in prison, and certainly not by the negligence of the state. The state has a responsibility to maintain their health and their safety and their well-being, and the state has failed in that. The CDCR has failed in that.
像其他一些因病毒而措手不及的机构一样，美国的监狱也在为如何保持囚犯和工作人员的安全而奋力挣扎。加利福尼亚州正在进行广泛的测试，州长批准提前释放大约3500名囚犯，以减轻监狱人满为患，但也出现挫折。据信，从奇诺市的加州男子监狱转移到圣昆丁的囚犯就把病毒也带了过来。一名监狱的高级官员通过视频向囚犯讲话。
We are making unprecedented changes to our operations, and we recognize the burden this has placed on those incarcerated in our prisons.
在圣昆丁监狱，至少有19个囚犯死于新冠病毒，包括10个死囚。根据联邦监狱局的信息，在美国全国超过7万名囚犯被检测出阳性反应，其中至少有100人死亡。威廉姆斯的学生当中，41岁的钱森邦在7月1号被释放当天，他的检测呈阳性反应。钱森邦不是被提前释放，他说他因为持械抢劫被判刑50年，在服刑23年后获得假。
Because they had this thing where they like, you guys got to space out. And we told them, we can't space out in our cell. Our cell is 5 by 9 by 14. And then they came out with a memo, you guys got to sleep head to toe. And we're like, what does that do?
监狱当局对要求评论的请求没有做出回应。官员们建议采取步骤来增加社交距离，比方说把囚犯转移到另类的房舍或其他监狱，以及更改作息时间以改善卫生条件。到目前为止，获释囚犯的刑期都将在180天内届满。州政府正打算释放另外几千人，但表示必须小心从事。
You don't want to just send people out and the park benches.In homeless shelters, we've got to make sure that we responsibly move people out, but with a deep sense of urgency.
Releases on a much bigger scale than what we're seeing need to happen if we're going to keep people safe.
虽然官员们表示，他们正在安排释放更多囚犯以减少感染新冠病毒的人，一些维权人士仍然继续抗议说落实的不够快。美国之音记者米切尔，加利福尼亚州奥克兰报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。